The sermon, again, is taken from a book called A Collection of Very Valuable Sermons. Entitled as a sermon preached at Mill House in the parish of Kilbride by Gabriel Semple, March 21st, 1679. His text is Isaiah 55, verse 6, which says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is near." Man once stood in good terms with God, sirs. Oh, but man, when he was first created, was a happy and glorious creature. He was made but a little lower than the angels, for his glory and his holiness was such that as the friend of God he might have spoken as familiarly to his Lord and Creator as a man speaks to his friend. But oh, he sinned away that privilege, and the Lord chased him away and excluded him from paradise. That was a sad change on Adam when the Lord's voice was terrible unto him in the garden. Says Adam, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid." What fears thee, Adam? What ails you at my voice? It used not to be a terror unto you. Have you sinned, Adam? I am sure something is not right here. What, have ye eaten of the forbidden tree and sinned against me? No wonder that you are afraid. For I am become your enemy for that, and now be gone from my sight and presence until you be reconciled to me in another way and manner, and that through the blood of my own son. There was Adam and all his posterity banished forth from the presence of God. Now, what estate is man then in? He is in an estate that he cannot look God in the face, and God cannot look him in the face. But he is a terror unto him. Now, till he be reconciled by Jesus Christ, he cries nothing but hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne, from the Lamb, etc. Hills and mountains cover us from his glory, for we cannot endure his spotless holiness. But though this be the case with all mankind, yet bless the Lord that he has found out another way, whereby he reconciles him again unto himself. That is, in and through the blood of his own Son, his sent and well-beloved Son, to become man, and in that nature to suffer in his merit and mediation for man's sin and transgression, and thereby to be reconciled unto God again. There man has access unto his holiness. Man may come boldly to the throne of his grace, and none to make him afraid. Oh, the Lord is got off the throne of justice, and for Christ's sake is seated now upon the throne of mercy, love, and grace. And what says he now? What cries his messenger here unto you? But seek ye the Lord while he is to be found. Call ye upon his name while he is near. Christ has brought God the Father near, for God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. And therefore this is the charge given all his messengers, that they should tell all the world that if ever they would come near him, they must do it in Christ. Oh, if you would be acquainted with him, it must be in and through his precious Son, Jesus Christ. If you would have that enmity taken away and be made friends with him again, you must seek the Lord while he is to be found. In the words you have. First, the exhortation to this great duty, and it is, seek the Lord. There is the duty of all the posterity of Adam. Men and women, what is your duty and work in the world, or business hereaway? Is it not to eat, drink, sleep, live, die, and perish like the beasts? No. Your great work is to seek the Lord upon great business, to call upon the name of the Lord. Seek the favor and friendship of God. Seek nearness, union, and communion with him. Seek to glorify God here and to enjoy him hereafter. This is your great work and business in the world. And second, we have the encouragement given that it is while he is to be found. Why, say ye, need we seek him? He will not be found of us now. We have offended him by breaking the covenant of works. Now he has cast us out with our forefathers for their and our sins and transgressions. No, says the Spirit of God, for all this there may be peace made with him yet. For as far as he is gone, he may yet be found if we take the right way with it. He is yet nigh at hand. Seek him while he is to be found, and call upon him while he is near. The observation from the words is that the Lord Jesus Christ is not shut up from poor souls. But if any have a mind for him, they may find him. James 1:5, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask it of God, which giveth liberally to all men and upbraideth none. He is not on the reserve. He is not so shut up from sinners that he is not to be found. Indeed, he may sometimes, as it were, go to his place, that you may seek him the more after him. And I shall give you the following evidences that the Lord is not shut up or inaccessible to the children of men. First, because he has commanded all men and women to seek him. And this says he is not upon his keeping from them, so to speak, when he has commanded all the children of Adam, all at least within the visible church, seek ye the Lord while he is to be found. He has given out the royal commandment for it, and indeed, sometimes when this is followed out, it passes into a law. In Asa's days, who was a good king, and that is a great blessing to a land or people, it is said in 2 Chronicles 15:12, and they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their hearts, etc. And that whosoever sought not the Lord should be put to death, whether man or woman, etc. Oh, when shall such an act come from the rulers in these lands that such as will not seek the Lord shall be put to death? Ye see, the Lord not only commands it, but he threatens judgment for not seeking of him. Pour out thy fury on the heathen, and the families that call not on thy name. Secondly, this says that the Lord is content to be sought unto, and that he tells us where they may find him. After Christ's resurrection, what says the angel to the woman? Christ is not here. Where is he gone? The world is wide and large. We know not where to seek him. But, says the angel, he is gone before you unto Galilee, and there shall ye see him. There he met with you before he suffered, and there ye shall find him. Do not think then that Christ is keeping himself up from you. And third, because he has made many promises and given great encouragements that if they follow on to seek the Lord, they shall find him. He has made many a sweet and encouraging promise that they may seek him and follow out this great duty. And fourthly, he gives them a blessed welcome that seek him. He upbraids none, but makes them all welcome. He is easily overcome by them. In Song 3, verse 4, I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him and would not let him go, says the spouse. And he is well content to be holden of her. I say the great welcome he gave the prodigal son when he comes to himself, says he, I will go back again to my father's house and confess my sins and so glorify God. What does the father? He goes out to meet him and says, this is my son. He, as it were, gives him not leave to speak, but flies into his neck and kisses him, saying, this is my son that was dead and is yet alive again, and that was lost and is found. Such a meeting betwixt Christ and the soul is as was between Jacob and Joseph. It is enough that my son Joseph is alive. And it is said, he wept on his neck. This says he is content to be sought and gives great welcome and encouragement. Bring the fatted calf and the best raiment to put on him. Now, sirs, there is a great witness against you in the day of the Lord. If you will not come and seek mercy in time through the blood of Jesus, for cleansing from your sins, Forsake your evil ways. And if this were the case, the fatted calf would be killed. If Scotland were on the turning hand, we would get another feast yet for a new marriage bargain. Yea, it is said there is joy in heaven at the conversion of one sinner. There is much sorrow in the world. When a poor soul turns to God, the devil in the world is saying, "We have lost a good comrade." Aye, but there is joy in heaven for that. It is said at the conversion or repentance of one sinner, there is joy in heaven. Oh, but that says Christ is not upon his hiding from his people. Now, if it is so that the Lord is thus to be found, seek ye the Lord while he is to be found, call upon him while he is near. The Lord is not shut up yet as to Scotland. Their assemblies say that Christ is yet to be found, that he keeps up a public displayed banner in spite of all his enemies, both papists, prelates, and malignants, and all their laws and arms. Christ is covering a gospel table here and there. And what is he proclaiming by that banner? "But if any man will make peace with me, let him take hold of my strength, and he shall make peace with me." Christ is crying this to Scotland. This says he is not upon the reserve with us. "Then seek him while he is to be found, and call upon him while he is near." And I shall notice some of the places and also of the times wherein you will most likely find him. First, you will find him in secret. "If ye seek him aright, be sure to seek him there," says Christ, "when thou prayest, shut thy doors and pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Alas, I fear that there be many folk that come to meetings and conventicles, as they are called, that are not given to secret prayer and seeking of God. Parents, I exhort you to exhort your children to seek God in secret prayer. And masters, exhort your servants to seek him this way. There are also places, yea, houses, wherein you will more readily find him than in other places. See Jacob when coming to his father Laban behind him and Esau before him. He sent his wives and whole substance before him. "What, will ye stay alone here all night?" "Oh," says Jacob, "I have a friend to speak with this night, and I have set this time apart for it. And I have a secret errand. As Ehud said when he killed Eglon, I have a secret message unto thee, O king." So a soul that is right exercised has still some secrets with the Lord that even the nearest of its relations must not know of. It may be confessing or mourning for some secret sin or transgression, or secret suit for the mortification of some secret sin or corruption, or some secret wrestling with God, that it may have some testimony of its sincerity before him. Therefore, it is this secret duty that is so much commanded. Jacob wrestled with the angel of the covenant, and there he got a fair trial and blessed meeting, as you have it in Hosea 12:4. "Yea, he had power over the angel and prevailed. He wept and made supplication unto him." Where found he him? In Bethel. Oh, sirs, secret seeking of God is a great duty. If you would find him, you must be secret seekers of God. John 1. "Ah, Nathanael, indeed. But how knowest thou that?" said Nathanael to Christ, when he called him an Israelite indeed. "I saw thee under the fig tree. Very likely I know the place where thou hast fellowship with me in secret." There are some folk at this with it that they know not where they say their secret prayers, neither is there a set form of prayers that you must confine yourselves unto. But if thou be a true seeker of God, thou wilt neither confine thyself to set forms nor ordinary times, but thou wilt set sometimes apart for it. And so if ye would find the Lord, ye must seek him in secret. Secondly, you will find him not only in secret prayer, in reading of the Word and confessing of your sins, but also in Christian fellowship or society meetings. When you cannot find him in secret, there is another place to go to. That is fellowship meetings. And to these will I go, says the believer. Says the spouse in Canticle 3, 1 and 2, by night I sought him whom my soul loveth. It is like in secret. But I found him not. What next? I went to the broad ways, that is, where I knew the people of God were in fellowship meetings, and there I sought him whom my soul loveth. And indeed, if you would find him, it would be as readily there as in many other places. Christ evidenced this in John 20, verse 10. There the disciples went home, but it is said Mary stood without weeping alone. She could not think to leave Christ's grave, and what comes of it? She gets a manifestation. Christ spake unto her and said, Woman, why weepest thou? She supposed him to be the gardener until he revealed himself unto her, and then she essayed to take hold of his feet. Here was a manifestation in secret. Well, the next manifestation was in fellowship, verse 19. When the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said, Peace be unto you. They durst not keep their public assemblies, therefore gather together into private fellowships, for there it is said Christ came and stood in the midst of them. And it is said elsewhere that he breathed upon them and said, Your sins are forgiven you. But I cannot tell, my friends, what has become of the west of Scotland now, for he was not counted much worth in religion that did not meet in Christian fellowship to seek the Lord. Men could not have met on the highway, but they would have spoken of God and religion. But now that is gone, both in life and conversation. It is said that when it was said to a certain man that he should venture forth something for religion, I cannot tell, said he, if my religion be so strong as to bear suffering. So that your religion is not that strong as to bring you together to seek God is a black mark or token of some terrible judgment to coming on the land. And if anything will prevent judgment, it is seeking the Lord. But it is a sincere seeking him with the whole heart. The king of Nineveh could tell you that crying mightily to God did prevent ruin. But we fear the king of Nineveh shall arise in judgment and condemn many professors in this generation. It is not the hearing of preaching, nor the hearing of Presbyterian ministers, as you call them, and that you will not hear the curates. Alas, that there should have been so much compliance with them. That will not do without sincere seeking of God. Some in the apostles' days said they were of Paul and they of Apollos, but is Christ divided? Will you make more of Christ and look less to instruments? And thirdly, another place where you will find him is in the public ordinances. Say the daughters of Jerusalem in Psalm 6:1, Whither is thy beloved gone, that we may seek him with thee? Well, what says the spouse? My beloved is gone down into the garden, that is, to the church, to gather lilies, that is, to gather believers. So you will find him in his ordinances and the public assemblies of his people. Says the psalmist in Psalm 63:2, To see thy power and thy glory, as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Oh, to be back at his sanctuary, says the believer. And what would you see there? Why, I should see Christ and have a manifestation of his power there. Well, sirs, seeing he has told you so positively where you will find him, then you will be inexcusable in the day of the Lord if you seek him not. And here we take instruments against you that the Lord is yet to be found in Scotland. And for all the force, acts, laws, and banishments, Christ is yet to be found there. We need not go over to Holland, France, or Germany to seek Christ. He is yet in Scotland, and to be seen in secret, in fellowship, and in the mount of gospel ordinances. Much pains have they taken to chase him away, and with a sound of trumpet and toque of drum have commanded him to depart our coasts. But we bless his name and take it for our token of good, that for all the ways and means they have taken to banish him, he will not go away. And though they would send off all his household furniture, and so he should not have a minister or professor there, yet he has commanded an arrest that they take not all these out of Scotland, which shows that he has no mind yet to quit Scotland. And may not that encourage you to seek the Lord? And if you do not, it will be a great disadvantage unto you. I will tell you what will come of it. He will be a witness against you. Is he seeking you, and will ye not seek him? Is Christ seeking thy soul's good and welfare, O man and woman, and wilt thou not seek him? Oh, that will be a witness against you. Christ is seeking a church and a people to serve and glorify him. And will ye not seek him? This shall be a witness against you in the day of the Lord, whatever you may now think of it. I come in the next place to tell you of the times wherein you will most readily find him. First, you will find him in the morning of the day, after the rest and refreshment of sleep in the night, and before ye engage your hearts to the world and the lusts thereof through the day. Engage your heart to seek the Lord then. There are some folk no sooner awake, but the world awakes with them. The world cries, "Up and serve me." And the Lord says by his word and spirit, "Rise, man and woman, and serve me. Seek my face and favor, and every good thing from me." Indeed, the world gets many a favorable answer, while the Lord gets, "Stand thou by till the world be served." Oh, this is not right, says the psalmist, "My voice shalt thou hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee." Psalm 5:3. "As the first work," says David, "I will go to prayer to get the blessing of heaven and the blessing of my Father who was there. I'll go and glorify him in the morning of the day." And secondly, the time wherein you will find him is in the morning of your age. Young folk, you have the advantage of old people here, and how so? Well, they have sitten their time spent and sinned it away. But young folk have the time before their hand in the morning of their age. Oh, but ye have a great advantage that ye have the Lord to seek, and in your young days to sacrifice to the Lord and for the Lord. Young Josiah, when his heart was young and tender, it is said, sought the Lord God of his fathers. He has that commendation in the 8th year of his reign. Wherefore was it that John was called the beloved disciple, but as some conjecture, because he was the youngest that first began to follow Christ? So in the morning of thy age, thou shouldest begin to seek him. You see how the Lord calls upon young Samuel. The Lord appeared again and again and the third time, and he had a secret time to seek the Lord. And for that end, his parents sent him there. There are cursed parents amongst you who devote your children to the devil and the world, but train them not to seek and serve God. Hannah brought Samuel unto the temple, and there she left him, never to depart, but to be a seeker of God and a server of him all the days of his life. And he became so. But even when he was very young, the Lord cries, "Samuel," and the lad was not acquainted with the Lord. And he tells Eli the business, "I heard a voice speaking, and I wot not what it means." At first, Eli is not well instructed in the thing either. But when he calls again, says Eli, "That must be the Lord making acquaintance with you." "What shall I do?" says Samuel. "Why," says Eli, "say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. If he has any service for thee, tell him, thou art set apart to glorify him and serve his church and people. Tell him this, and ye will get much of his mind." Parents, breed your children young, and if they should but hold up their hands to heaven. Teach them to acknowledge God. The Turks will rise up in the day of judgment and condemn many parents, for the first thing they teach them is that there is one God and Mohammed, his great prophet. I say that many parents never teach their children that there is one God. However, young folk, seek the Lord, for ye have heard tell of young ones that have sought the Lord and have found him. The third morning in which you are to seek him is the morning of the gospel. We have got a new morning of it now, but there was a black night of it by the Glasgow Act in Scotland. Many places of the land to this day are like the land of Zebulun and Naphtali, especially many of these places in the north of Scotland that are sitting in darkness. Pray for them. I think the Highland host that lately came from thence amongst you might draw prayers from you. What would they say? Pity us, we are your mother's children. We were baptized in the same church. Ye minded your own corner. And ye see, we are but a parcel of savages. Ye did not pray for us, as ye should have done. And it is but just with God that we should be a plague unto you. If ye have the light and knowledge of Christ yourselves, but ye care not for others, and therefore God has sent us to chastise you for this fault among others. A man will perhaps pray for those in his own parish, but oh, prayer should extend to all Scotland, England, and Ireland, nay, all the habitable world. Be thou exalted, O Lord, above the heavens, and let the whole earth be filled with thy glory. Some places have not yet seen the dawning of the gospel day. Oh, if they would chase the gospel to the north of Scotland. Oh, for an entrance there. But while ye have the morning of the gospel, improve it. We cannot tell how long it will last. Our sun rises not so high as at other times. Therefore, I pray you, while ye have the gospel and gospel ordinances, make use of them. Seek the Lord and close with him in the offers of his grace. And say, Lord, thou offerest thyself unto me for wisdom, justification, sanctification, and complete redemption. So here I am with all my soul. I accept of this offer. I will be your God, and ye shall be my people. I take instruments that thou shalt be my king, priest, and prophet. Oh, improve the offers of the gospel. Ye cannot tell how long this morning of it shall be continued with you. Therefore, seek the Lord. Call on his name. Ye cannot tell how soon he may go and how far he may go away from you. We shall add no more. The Lord bless what ye have heard, and to his name be the praise.
This Reformation audio track is a production of Stillwater's Revival Books. You are welcome to make copies and give them to those in need. SWRB makes thousands of classic Reformation resources available, free and for sale, in audio, video, and printed formats. It is likely that the sermon or book that you just listened to is also available on cassette or video, or as a printed book or booklet. Our many free resources, as well as our complete mail order catalog, containing thousands of classic and contemporary Puritan and Reform books, tapes, and videos at great discounts, is on the web at www.swrb.com. We can also be reached by email at swrb@swrb.com, by phone at 780-450-3730, by fax at 780-468-1096, or by mail at 4710-37A Avenue, Edmonton, that's EDMONTON, Alberta, abbreviated capital A, capital B, Canada, T6L3T5. You may also request a free printed catalog. And remember that John Calvin, in defending the Reformation's regulative principle of worship, or what is sometimes called the scriptural law of worship, commenting on the words of God, "which I commanded them not, neither came into my heart," from his commentary on Jeremiah 7:31, writes, God here cuts off from men every occasion for making evasions, since he condemns by this one phrase, "I have not commanded them," whatever the Jews devised. There is then no other argument needed to condemn superstitions than that they are not commanded by God. For when men allow themselves to worship God according to their own fancies, and attend not to his commands, they pervert true religion. And if this principle was adopted by the papists, all those fictitious modes of worship in which they absurdly exercise themselves would fall to the ground. It is indeed a horrible thing for the papists to seek to discharge their duties towards God by performing their own superstitions. There is an immense number of them, as it is well known, and as it manifestly appears. Were they to admit this principle, that we cannot rightly worship God except by obeying his word, they would be delivered from their deep abyss of error. The prophet's words, then, are very important, when he says that God had commanded no such thing, and that it never came to his mind, as though he had said that men assume too much wisdom when they devise what he never required, nay, what he never knew.